Lisa. We're broadcasting live from the United Public Radio Network on 107.7 FM and 105.3 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. You will have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio, and get into chat. Subscribe if you haven't. You can go into all of the United Public Radio Facebook stations, Twitch, SoundCloud, and Podbeam. I can only respond to your comments on our YouTube channel on UFO Paranormal Radio. And if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. And you can also go over to the UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo on Facebook as well. Tonight we have an amazing guest. So please welcome Amy Green to the show. Amy has almost 30 years of studying, researching, and investigating the paranormal. With over 200 investigations under her belt, she has been to some of the most haunted locations in the USA. She's an investigator with Reap Investigations out of Pennsylvania and co-founder investigator with the Parish Paranormal out of New Orleans. She has been the host of Lifestyles of the Hot and Fabulous Spooky podcast for 4 years, where paranormal music and other public events are promoted. She's also a noted publicist for several public figures, as well as musicians all over the world. So please, let's welcome Amy to the show.
Welcome.
Woo! Hello. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I haven't seen you guys in forever.
Yeah,
I
it's been a long
know.
time, so it's great to have you on.
I think the last time we saw, I saw you actually in person was at Selma.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
a long time ago.
I know. We have not really been out too much. It's been
No.
crazy. It really has.
Yeah.
Wow, you got a big resume.
Yep.
What we always like to ask our guests is tell people how you got started in paranormal. So basically, like a young age, did you have an encounter?
I did. My first encounter I will be honest, nobody has ever been able to explain this to me. And probably when I was about 4 years old, I had an experience, and I know that it was in the springtime. I had this, I was in my bed, and it was just my mom and me. And I heard cackling off and on all night long. Like, I hesitate to use the word witch. But it just cackling off and on all night long. And I actually told my grandmother about it, and she goes, "Oh, that's the night of the witches." And I'm like, I still have not been able to explain what that means, anything like that. And of course, through my grandmother and through school and everything, I've always had a deep love for history, and that was my minor in college, and I just fell in love with exploring all of that. And studying history, one flowed into the other. So it was just a progression, I guess you'd say, into the paranormal. And I started researching. I read everything I could get my hands on, and joined my first group probably in 1994, which was Ed and Lorraine Warren's group in ESPR in probably 94, and just got hooked on it. And actually started investigating a couple of years after that, and it has been my passion ever since. So it's
Wow.
something
Very
I don't
interesting.
care.
So what's amazing is that you said 4 years old, because I cannot tell you how many guests we've had on, and it's like that age, the 4 to 5 and 6 year
Yep.
olds that
It's always
have
happening.
these experiences, and then years later, they're paranormal investigators and psychic mediums, and so it all starts somewhere, you know. And that's and then you're now you're an investigator, and you got a nice resume put together of things that you do out there. So what I'd like to ask you is, what sold you on the belief that ghosts exist?
I've always thought the possibility was there, but probably the I won't have, there's not a defining moment, but there is a defining investigation. And anybody who asks me, I will tell them hands down, all time most active place I've ever been is the Granbury Opera House in Granbury, Texas. This place is amazing. We had I was up in the balcony with two of my investigators, and I'm standing in the aisle, and they're sitting up in seats, and this has old theater seats in it, you know, the kind that only stay down if you're sitting in them. And we heard some kind of noise off to the left, and we looked, and coming down the aisle is somebody, like they have their hands and pushing down the seats as they're walking by them, because you can see them flip down and then they flip right back up. Uh-huh. And we're sitting there, and there's two of them, and then there's me. We're the only three in the balcony, and this is happening. And I'm like, holy crap, grab a camera. And it's, you know, and that probably nailed it for me. And then we were on the stage, because it is still an active opera and playhouse. They have a troupe that comes through, people working their way towards Broadway, that sort of thing. And they kind of do like a camp type thing every summer, where people can kind of get experience working on stage, whether it be backstage, whether it be acting, whatever. We're standing on the stage, and all of a sudden the floodlights come on, and we're like, and I'm yelling at people going, quit messing with the lights, quit messing with the lights. And everybody's no. And I'm like, where are these lights? And finally the guy that was there supervising, who works for the theater, he said, those lights are turned on in the booth up in the balcony. It's locked and there's nobody in there.
Wow.
But I mean, it was just like complete, you know, like you see, like in a concert, you know, floodlights just boom. And they were there and they stayed on for a few seconds and then they went back off. And he told us, he said, no, those lights are turned on by a switchboard in that booth up in the balcony, and it's locked and nobody's in there. He said, I don't have a key to that booth.
I think that's fascinating.
It was this place was just off the charts. And I mean, we actually had somebody catch a picture. We were on, because the balcony is kind of like in a horseshoe shape. And on one whole side of it, they had it completely closed off because they were doing renovations. Nobody was allowed over there. It wasn't safe. And somebody just happened to take a picture and caught a full shadow of a man sitting in a chair with like a cowboy hat on. And it was just, this place was just fascinating. It really was. If you ever get the chance to investigate there, you really should. And there's actually a rumor that John Wilkes Booth acted there after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if that's true, but that's the rumor.
So, yeah, first of all, I mean, look, the lights going on itself is truly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we could attest to it, because I think that we've experienced something like that, and the power of what these spirits can do, manipulate electricity in all sense of degrees, even toys that don't have batteries in them. Mm-hmm. And you say to yourself, well, how is that possible?
Right.
So I think that's incredible. And then the question is, do you think that it's residual, or do you think it's the spirit going back to that location, acknowledging people around that time?
I think it's probably a combination of both. It would have to take, I'm no expert. No, there are no experts in this field, but I would think it would take some, not just residual energy, but with a lot of energy and intelligence to be able to manipulate the seats like that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you have, you know, people who acted there and everything. You don't know. I don't know who all acted there. Just could have had some of their best times of their lives acting there or something like that, just visiting. But I don't know. I do think it is a combination of both.
Placement energy, where the soul feels it can go back and forth.
Yes.
This is what they call maybe portals. They come through. It's fascinating, right?
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely is.
And then, you know, we know that there's no time on their side in the spiritual world.
Right.
So we made it up. So maybe what we're trying to perceive, you know, let me ask you this question before I get into mm-hmm. that is, have you ever talked to a spirit through either a Ouija board or a pendulum or anything?
Oh, yes. I've used Ouija board many times. Yeah, I've used a Ouija board many times talking to different spirits. As a matter of fact, the most interesting one that I ever contacted was apparently familial connections are strong, really strong. My sister and I used to use the Ouija quite a bit. And we got really, really strong responses. And there was one time we got a hold of this kid. He gave us his name. He gave us his mother's name. He gave us his dad's name, and even told us that they lived in not San Diego, but they lived in California, and that he and his mother had died in a car accident, and his father still lived there. Well, we looked it up, and sure enough, wow. His dad was there. We were able to look up the address and look up the name of the man that lived that address, and it was all right.
Wow.
But at the same time, I've also worked with it and gotten gibberish. So,
yeah.
But the defining one would be, you know, when you can actually go and research something, information that they've given you, and it shows to be true,
it's true.
Yeah.
I've had those encounters too, where sometimes you use a Ouija board and it's gibberish.
Right.
But other mm-hmm. times when that spirit wants to come through,
they're going to come through.
Oh, wow. And usually, like, when I do with a couple of people, it's been a long time. It's been years.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, the first thought is when a real spirit's trying to communicate, it goes counterclockwise for us really fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then it flips to the – then it goes clockwise.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts spelling out things, and it's spelling correct words.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. We've gotten information with phone numbers – with who killed who. It's amazing to think it's possible, but yet it is.
Yeah. I mean, you can sit there and tell me, you know, ghosts don't exist. Okay, come with me sometime. You know,
yeah, I agree. Sure,
like me, you guys have had plenty of experiences and you know it's true. But I mean, I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm just here to tell you my stories. So, you know, I'll let you draw your own conclusion. But I'm going to tell you, there are experiences that I've had that do not fall under rational explanation. They just don't.
No.
And it's just fascinating. I love, you know, that's one thing that it's, and like 99% of it we can rule out. It's that 1% that keeps us coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so good when you can go back and you can, like you said, do the research to like back up all these things that you're catching in here.
So you're like a lighthouse too, because mm-hmm. a paranormal investigator who's able to get that information on the other mm-hmm. side and contact with the Ouija board or any kind of device is a lighthouse. The spirit does know. So then the question is, have you ever seen people in your family that have crossed over? They try to communicate with you and say, hey, we know you can do this.
No, actually I haven't. And I don't claim to be sensitive or psychic or anything like that. I've never claimed to be. What I bring to the table is more like behavioral. You know, I study criminology and you know, and behavioral science and things like that. And so my main thing when I go is I'm going to observe behavior, you know, and, you know, that helps with, you know, if I can sit there and tell you by looking at somebody's handwriting, if they're stretching the truth on that, or they're flat out lying, or they're scared to tell you. There's something that they want to tell you, but they can't, or they won't,
yeah.
or something mm-hmm. like that. So mine is behavioral analysis. excuse me. I mean, I've had physical experiences, and I've watched things that have happened as a result of something being thrown at me or tossed to me, or I've been hugged, which was amazing. That was the probably one of the coolest, besides the Granberry, the coolest experience I ever had was I had one actually come up behind me and hug me.
Wow.
And I mean, I could actually feel her arms around me and I could feel her behind me. And I'm like, it didn't scare me. It was actually very comforting. So, you know,
Yeah, you know, that's, I think that's what people miss too. They think that, you know, every ghost and every spirit is just evil and mean, and it's just, that's just not the case.
Do you know, on the news yesterday, on one of the big news stations, one of the headlines were people that have crossed over between 9/11 and the coronavirus, people here in the physical world now coming forward and saying the spirits are contacting us. It was on the news. They're contacting us. It was the headline. And I think that's fascinating. And, you know, they always say, look for the signs. Yeah. Look for the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be blinded. Look for the signs of the other side. Where it could be a song.
So many signs.
That it comes on ironically at a time when you may have been thinking about that person.
Right.
Or the smells of perfume or cologne. Or the color change around you. Always look for the signs because that's what they're giving you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah.
It was on the headlines of yesterday's news.
And that's, I work for an NBC affiliate and I didn't see anything. I should pay more attention to my radio, my TV station. I'm actually big on the smells. Maybe I'm a dog in a former life. I don't know, but I'm very big on smells. And so maybe what you're saying, you know, what you're saying, I do find true. Is that very, very subtle? You just have to pay attention.
Yeah, because you can miss them really fast too.
Yeah, yeah, because it may just be like a flash or something, you know.
You can miss them because, again, there's no time, so they're kind of quick.
They're really quick. Yeah.
And you get the flashes of either the quick music, the music that's going on at the time when you might be in a rush, but you're not really concentrating on it, or passing some kind of sign, a street sign with their name.
Yeah.
And you were thinking about them the day before.
Yep.
And these are all things that are in play of, hey, I hear you. I can feel you. I know you're thinking about me. Mm-hmm. So, which leads us to another question. In your dreams, you ever have dreams and spirits come in that you don't know?
Every once in a great while, not too often. Now, I did have a recurring dream that I had for many, many years. And I honestly believe it was something about my past life. I haven't had a regression done, so I'm not exactly sure. But it was the same dream over and over and over again. And I mean, in my dream, it was back in many, many years ago. And I wore white and I crossed myself a lot and I spoke in fluent French. In my dreams, I knew exactly what I was saying. I know in real life, I know very little French. But in my dreams, I spoke fluent French. I knew exactly what I was saying. I knew exactly what people were saying to me. But when it was over, that all stopped when I moved to New Orleans.
Wow.
I mean, as soon as I moved to New Orleans, I hadn't had any more.
That's strange. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know if that means that I was a nun or, you know, because that's the only thing I connect. I know that I walked a lot, which in New Orleans, you're going to walk a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But I wore white. And like I said, I crossed myself a lot and I did a lot of walking and I could tell it wasn't this time period. So I've got to have a real definitive interpretation of that. But like I said, as soon as I moved to New Orleans, I have not had one since.
Wow.
So it's a change of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the change of atmosphere, somehow, I've heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
It changes something, some kind of pattern of energy where.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. There was a kid who was born and he insisted he was reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
This was on Oprah years ago. And he's part of the war. And he drew pictures of the camp and everything. Mm-hmm. And he could explain everything. That's but when the family moved years later, it kind of became second that it was going away.
Yeah.
Somehow the part of it was just, I think I remember.
So if we move, we won't remember like a lot of the fights with the kids and all that stuff. I'm just saying, like, if we move, move,
well,
move
my, my connection with New Orleans is very, very strong, and I'm not there right now. I go back about once a month, but I'm hoping by the end of the summer to be back there again full time, because New Orleans is home to me. The first time that I ever went to New Orleans was in 1998. We got there about 1 o'clock Saturday morning. By Saturday afternoon, for some reason, I was giving people directions to places. I had never been to the city before in my life. And I don't know if that's just New Orleans the way that it is, because a lot of people have that, you know, just have that connection with the city or with certain, not necessarily just New Orleans, but different places. You just have a connection there. But that was my connection. And I knew that was a place that I needed to be because it felt like home there. So
it felt like home.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes it sense. Did.
So it's a chance in a past life you may have lived there.
Yeah,
possibly. And it, you know, and of course, I'm sure, as you know, New Orleans is a predominantly Catholic city. You know, it just is. I mean, there are other religions and you know, nationalities and all that other stuff there, but predominantly it is Catholic. And so with me crossing myself and wearing white all the time and doing a lot of walking and things like that, maybe that was the connection. I don't know. I don't know that it was New Orleans that I was walking through in my dreams, but I honestly believe that I was a nun.
Oh.
So maybe that's the connection there.
Could it's be. Possible.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question for you. So you have the nickname. Now, I've asked you this question before. The ice cream, where did it come from?
There's a couple of different reasons.
For listeners and anybody that may not know.
A couple of different reasons. One is I'm very, very hot natured. I cannot stand the heat. So why do I keep moving further south? I don't know. I'm very hot natured, and I have a tendency to be very cold hearted when I have to be.
Mm-hmm.
My sisters, my daughter, my brother, my mother, they all say that I intimidate the hell out of people. Pardon my French. But it's only when I have to be.
Yeah.
But you know, it was somebody called me that once and it just kind of stuck, so
well, there it is.
I had to ask you that.
There it is. Hey y'all, let's talk about attachments. Have you ever had an attachment?
Or anything ever? Yeah, anything follow you home.
No, I have. I did stay with a friend of mine for a while after my divorce, and her son. He's very, very talented, very, very intuitive and all of that. And this was before he started working with a mentor, which is, if anybody has gifts and all that other stuff, if you've never worked with a mentor, I strongly recommend it so you get a handle on it. And hopefully, you know, that will work, that will help you. Because some people who have this gift and they don't know how to use it, they don't know how to use that shield, not necessarily mm-hmm. a wall, but that shield, it's yeah. a good suggestion to help get somebody to help you develop one. And we went to a couple of cemeteries in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he brought something home with him, and it was nasty. It was we're having doors slam upstairs, having doors slam open and shut, and we finally got somebody to come in and do a cleansing on the house, and actually ended up having not to do an exorcism, but had to do a deliverance on the house and have it cleansed and everything to get rid of. He just was too open, and this thing followed him home. And watching that was scary enough. I protect myself wherever I go. You know, I have my protective stones. I have my sage. I have my prayers that I do before I go in, before I leave, and all that. And, you know, worked a long time on ways to protect myself when I go into investigations. But to watch that was pretty scary. It really was. And that lasted probably about 4 months. And that was long enough. But I, to me, no.
Wow. that's a long time. Yeah.
How was it removed?
They came in and they did a cleansing on the house, and then they came back about a week later and they actually did an actual deliverance on the house. It's not really an exorcism, but it kind of is. But they did that, and that's how after that, the second time that they came out, it was finally, there was nothing else. It went away.
Okay.
Where do you think it goes?
That's a good question. Where does it go? Where do you think it goes when things are cleansed and attachments are removed?
That's a good question. Because everybody talks about, you know, we got rid of it. And I don't know if it just becomes, energy in other places or exactly what. I'm not really sure. I would like to know that myself. I'll be honest. Yeah, well, I would like to know myself, because it's, you know, you could sit there and say, you know, get rid of it all day long, but you got to go. Maybe that's why it's sticking around, because it's like, where am I going to go? You know, so. Yeah.
Well, we would like to know that myself. We ask ourselves that question. Where does it go?
I've asked the best of the best that question. No one's got an answer. I don't even have an answer.
Right.
We've had our house cleansed. I don't have an answer. Where does it go? Now, some people say it lays dormant up until the next family. Mm-hmm. If, you know, it just lays dormant. Sort of like the Amityville Horror House, where the first family's affected, the second family... and then the third was not, the fourth was not.
I think it's
so it's part of that, maybe it's just dormant. Some people believe they go back to, if it's evil, it goes back to hell.
Yeah.
People don't believe in hell, it just goes to another realm.
Yeah.
And waits for the intention of another person.
The right person.
And
family.
Yeah.
Because I mean it's just like we were talking about. Their timing is not always ours. And if it's been invited in, inadvertently, it's not going to be exactly when you call it, but it could be there. It's still, you know, so I don't know. I've done a couple of cleansing on houses and everything. And then I go and do the salt circle all the way around the perimeter, the house, the land and everything, you know, hopefully, you know, that really pure element of salt can protect the people that are, you know, in that house after we've done the cleansing on a house. And so far it's, you know, it's worked pretty well for me, but where they go from there, that would be interesting to know. I would like to know that.
Well, I could tell you what I do know from experience is that when we had our house cleansed the first time in 2015 by a ministry, that was a Saturday. Sunday was beautiful here. The air was perfect. The house was never haunted. Monday morning and afternoon was great up until Monday around 9 p.m. Hell broke loose. Okay. So what that told me is that they were playing hide and seek.
Which they do.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, we're going to hide now, but we're going to get you later. And it was a couple of days later and we got tormented. So they do
Surprise!
That. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, but I think, you know, one thing that I think a lot of people agree on with me, and I think this, there's only two, when you do a cleansing or an exorcism or something like that, there's only two responses. You're going to get rid of it or it's going to retaliate. And you know, those are your options. Cause I mean, it's like, you know, we'll just do a cleansing or we'll do an exorcism. What can it hurt? Really? No. Wait. You need to think about this really, really hard before you know.
I agree.
And that's what stopped us so many times from trying to remove this, because, you know, we were afraid.
It retaliates. Just what you said is true.
We went through that before. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's scary because you don't know what they're capable of.
No.
You know, I mean, they maybe have only just given you like a little taste of what they're capable of. You don't know what the big scale of it is. So,
this is true. I agree with you. Hey, I know what you do, and like I said, you have a very large resume. Let's just go off topic on that part, and let's go to aliens. What's your thoughts? With all these things going around, and the Pentagon may come forward. What's your thoughts on aliens, UFOs, UAPs?
I think it would be very arrogant of us to think that we are the only planet with intelligent life. That, you know, that's really, really limiting this, you know, this infinite expanse that we have outside this planet. I think it's ignorance and it's arrogant to think that we're the only planet with intelligent life. I've never had any experiences with it. But I've heard a lot of, you know, met with people who've had these experiences, and just from reading their behavior, I can tell them, I don't know if it's true or not, but they thought it was. And what they were telling me was what they perceived was true. So I believe the possibility is there. Yes. Now, I see more and more of these shows going towards, including more and more information on aliens that have actually visited our planet. Have you noticed that? More and more shows are coming up with absolutely, you know, oh, yep, they have been here. They have it. Well, yeah, they've been here. So, because I actually have a friend of mine whose father was one of the first responders at Roswell.
Oh.
He obviously could tell her very, very little, and he didn't tell her anything until when he was about to die. She knew that he worked for the Air Force, and she knew that he had been there, but he wouldn't talk about it a whole lot. And then when he got really, really sick and was about to die, then he disclosed some information to her. Yeah, I believe the possibility is there. And I think we're probably in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see even more evidence and more shows showing the truth of what they've uncovered as far as visitations.
Yeah.
Shadow people. Definitely. What's your thoughts on shadow people?
Shadow people, the ones that I've encountered are not good. I had, I don't know if this was going to be considered a shadow person, but let's see, in 2018, when I was at Waverly, that was one of the things that was on my daughter's bucket list. For her birthday, she wanted to go spend the night at Waverly, so that's what we did. We're walking down the fourth floor, all the way down the fourth floor, and out of the corner of my eye, have you ever been to Waverly?
No, but I do want to go there.
Okay. You're going down the hallway, and then if you're going in one direction, you see you've seen the pictures of all the balconies and stuff on the backside of the building. Where they used to wheel them out and let them get fresh air and everything. We were walking down the hallway, and those balconies were on our right. And we're walking all the way down the hall, and I see this shadow. It was big. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was big, and it followed us, kept pace with us all the way down the balcony. As we're walking down the hall, it's on the balcony walking, and it's not looking where it's going. It's watching us.
That's scary.
You can kind of see it watching, doing this as it's walking, watching us walk down the hall. And I did not get a warm, fuzzy feeling from that. But the other shadow figures that I have come in contact with, I haven't had anything, felt anything good about them.
Yeah.
I agree with you. We've had encounters with shadow people that weren't good.
No.
Other people that we've had on our show say they're not good. It just seems like there's something mysterious about them, like they're observing us.
Mm-hmm.
In an intelligent way, they're observing us. What's a TV show?
I definitely think they're intelligent. I definitely think there's an intelligence to them. Why is it always peripheral? How are they able to just stay in our peripheral?
True.
And not, you know, most of the time you don't get a full-fledged one right in front of you. It's going to be in your peripheral vision. And you're like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing that? So that kind of leads a little bit of intelligence to it.
Definitely.
Yeah, they're definitely interesting. Any thoughts on the Black Eyed Children?
Oh.
I've never actually talked to anyone who has seen them. I mean, I've heard stories about them, but I've never talked to anyone who's actually seen them. Have you guys seen one?
No, I don't know.
I really don't know that much about them or what the history is behind them. So,
well, we have had guests on that have seen them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't doubt their existence. I mean, I'm just saying I don't really know that much about them. I don't know where they were supposed to have come from or what children they are, if they're actual living children that these people, this something takes over, or I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Creepy, though.
Yeah.
Just the thought of that.
Definitely. Yeah, creepy. Yeah. And definitely, all I know is don't invite them in. That's all I know.
I definitely would not definitely agree with that.
So.
So, what's next for you? Like, what do you have going on? And how do you want to further, like, investigating? And did you ever get the smoking gun?
Let's see. Last month we were, I was at Hinsdale. We went to Hinsdale last month. This next weekend I'm going to be at Broken Bow Asylum in Oklahoma. I'm investigating with a friend of mine and his group, Dirty South Paranormal. I have got one. I should have sent it to you. I got one really, really, I mean, probably the clearest EVP I've ever gotten at the Shanley Hotel in New York. And finally, somebody who was able to filter out everything finally was able to, I could interpret it the first part of it and then the last part of it. But the middle part, I could not for the life of me make it out. And she finally was able to make it out. And it was, I'll have to send it to you. And it was, everybody kept telling me there's a little boy on that third floor. There's a little boy. And I listened to this EVP over and over again. I'm like, that's not a little boy. That's a grown man. And you can hear it say, son of a bee, I told you this was going to happen. I'm not guilty. And I'm like, this is not a little boy. This is a man talking on this EVP.
Oh, I hate. Yeah.
And that's so, you know, and that was one of those things where that third floor, I don't sense things. I don't do that. But if I happen to get an icky feeling or something like that, I listen to it because I know that I don't get those unless it's something not good, you know.
That's the trick.
And that third floor, there was one hallway on that third floor. I was about to walk down the hallway and it was almost like there was a door that I ran into. It was so, that energy was so intense that it just stopped me. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll just go about my business and go other places. But usually if I have permission to be somewhere, I'll go anywhere. I don't care. I go off by myself, which I shouldn't. I know that. But, you know, I don't usually have a problem. But that hallway was something else. It was just like thick. And that's where I got my best EVP.
Yeah, it's like that heaviness in the air. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen people in locations get taken over walking into that thickness, that heaviness. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say possessed, but I will say oppressed, where they don't even know what they're doing anymore.
Right.
And and you can see the change in the eye color.
Mm-hmm.
The eye color, and they move very robotic, mm-hmm. as if they're very stiff, and then mm-hmm. they get cold. The flesh gets mm-hmm. cold.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen.
I know you have.
That mm-hmm. is very scary.
Yeah.
To see that.
Because you have to rally and you go, okay, what do we do now? What do we do to help this person? You know, and that, yeah, when you're in that situation, you have to think quickly and you really, you're coming up blank and you're going, okay, I know I need to have an answer to this, but you don't right away. So you're like, okay, let's think about, you know, just, we have to help them because, you know, that's, but.
So I know that you have a lot of stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What?
You have a lot of stuff coming up. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
What do you have going on that you're really excited about?
I actually have I'm going to be doing my first I have several events that are coming up that I'm really excited about. I'm actually going to be going as a vendor with my show. I'm going to be doing the Midwest Annual Paranormal Festival in Marshalltown, Iowa. That's going to be August 20th to the 22nd, and I'll be there with Michelle LeBaron, Christopher Sutton, Josh Hurd, David Glidden. And I'm really excited. I've never been to Iowa, so it's, you know, I'm excited about that just to go. And then we have, let's see, the Dallas Paracon. I'm going to be there helping Bloody Mary with her booth, Bloody Mary from New Orleans. And there's, they've got quite a few people that are there. I've talked to a couple of people that are supposed to be there, and they're still on the fence about it. But I know Bloody Mary is going to be there. Steve Gonzalez is supposed to be there. Dave Schrader, Sydney Kaiser, however you say her name. And, you know, and there's going to be this event, I will be honest, is so outrageously expensive. It's not even funny. A friend of mine got a ticket for the meet and greet. Just the meet and greet was $375.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
The Saturday, I think from what I saw on the website today, all they have left are Saturday during the day tickets, and those are $85. And I'm like, bless Pete.
It's you crazy. Know?
Yeah, it's just nuts. Let's see, what else we got going? I have Non-Com 6 with Keith Age in Middletown, Ohio on September 24th to the 26th. And Tina Marie Ronan, Scotty Rourke is going to be there. I love Tina Marie and I love Scotty. They're awesome people. And so is Keith. I love Keith. And that one is actually free. So anybody's near Post Town Elementary, there's a free con there. Let's see, we got. I'm trying to go in order here. One event that I've got going that is near and dear to my heart. It has nothing to do with the paranormal, but it's something I'm very passionate about. Is August 23rd to September the 19th, and I realize that my TV station is doing a thing on it, but I also realize it's nationwide, and it's an event called Clear the Shelters.
Oh,
I'm going to
wow.
be doing a show. I'm going to do being doing an episode of my show strictly on clearing shelters, talking about because I'm huge on rescues. You know, rescue those little four-legged babies. You know, and I'm really excited to get behind that. And I'm going to be doing quite a bit with that. So that's going to be August 23rd through the September the 19th. Usually they do it for a week. But this time it's almost a whole month. And so I'm really, really jazzed about that. So you can look at cleartheshelters.com and find a shelter near you that is actually participating. And it's just an awesome thing. I love it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And let's see.
On.
What?
You have a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. 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 So quite a bit's coming up. And then, finally, I've got, not finally, but through October, let's see, what is it? Bear with me just a moment, sorry. Wrote this down. October the 30th through November the 7th, I'm going to be in New Orleans with Sherry Benedetti. Is that how you say your name? From Ghost Hunters?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be doing with Mysterious Adventure Tours, and they've actually got it split up into three different things. You can do 4 days, you can do 5 days, you can do the whole 9 days, 8 nights. They've got it split up, and you can do that at American Adventure Tour, MysteriousAdventureTours.com, and I've got a lot of different locations set up throughout the city. I'm gonna be taking people around. Now Sherry's only gonna be there Halloween and then All Souls Day, which is November 1. But we're going to be covering a lot of different things. We're going to be going to some plantations. We're going to be going out to the Chalmette Battlefield. We're going to be checking out Bloody Mary's museum and her shop down on Rampart Street. And she's got a whole ton of things that we're going to be taking people around and showing them and telling the stories behind it and giving them some history and checking out some other museums in the city too. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a lot going on over there. Hey, what kind of equipment do you like to use when you're out in the field?
Mainly my camera. My camera is that's that. If I don't take anything else with me, I take my camera. And I'll do shots with or without flash. And most of the time, I don't even, you know, I'll just take my camera and I'll go click, you know, just random, you know, and just sequential shots and things like that. Get a bunch of them in a row. And, but yeah, if nothing else, my camera always goes with me.
And do you get some good pictures?
I've gotten a couple of good ones. I got a really good one at Waverly back in 2010. I mean, I've had some others since then, but that was probably one of my best. Right outside an area, right outside the morgue at Waverly on the second floor. So I've done Waverly twice. Probably would never do it again. A lot of walking, and I tell you what, there's nothing brings you down to earth more than when you're in one of these locations. I don't know if you guys have ever been in this situation. You go into this location, and you know that you're going to be there for the whole 8 hours. Okay, right. So you're investigating everything, and you go, I really need to go do this, and you go to the door to get out, and you realize, oh crap, I'm locked in. I am locked in here.
Yeah,
that will bring you back down to earth real quick. You're like, oh crap, okay. So
it's scary. I mean, you know, people think that, you know, if you're you're a paranormal investigator, you still get scared.
I mean, the spirits weren't scary to me. It was just like, I'm sitting, my mind is going, what if there's a fire? How do we get out of here? You know. You take for granted being able to walk in and out of doors until you can't. Yes. And then you go, oh, wait a minute.
I can't get out.
Yeah, because they will lock you in there.
What's your thoughts on orbs?
The great orb debate.
Yeah, it's one of those things, right?
Yeah, it's
dust particles, water vapors, and then some of them, they're rare, but there are authentic ones.
I do believe that there are some authentic ones, but you have to take in context the entire picture. What's going on? You know, because I have people come to me, look at all these orbs, and I'm like, what was the weather? Well, it was raining outside. Okay, yeah. Okay, and you know, come on, work with me here. You're working.
It's funny, it's true. Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, you go somewhere and it's raining outside. You take pictures and you're like all excited, all these orbs everywhere, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry, but no. I don't like poo-pooing on other people's evidence too much, but I'm gonna say no on that.
I've seen interesting ones where they were right near the caskets.
That's
creepy.
They're right. Well, it's not creepy.
It's creepy.
Look, it goes to, do you believe in life after death or existence after death, right? And obviously, as paranormal investigators, we believe it because we're getting evidence from the other side, right? It's not bogus. Mm-hmm. It's not false. We're doing it for a reason. So then if there's evidence, then it has to be the energy, the transformation. So in the physical world, you can say, wow, that's creepy. I get that part. But
realism as
an investigator saying, okay, it's just like the person who's crossing over in the hospital. Yeah. Surveillance is capturing this energy mist leaving the body. That's out there too. So, right. You know, that leads me to a question. Amy, do you fear death?
No.
Because?
Yeah. I am not a religious person. I consider myself spiritual, not religious. But I do believe that, you know, once we pass, we go on to a better place where, even if it's not heaven, it's somewhere where we can look over those that we love and care about, and, you know, we can still watch over them. And I know it sounds childish and everything, but I used to think that, and I kind of still do think that's what the stars are. Our past relatives looking down on us, keeping their eye on us, making sure we're okay. And that actually being able to look over like my daughter and my grandchildren, that actually gives me a lot of comfort knowing that even though I'm not physically here, I can still watch over them. So yeah, that's my thought on it.
Definitely.
That's good. Yeah, I've heard that too. Mm-hmm. Especially on near-death experiences, people that cross over and they're resuscitated. Mm-hmm. They say, look, we could see everything at a 360 degree. Yeah. We could feel you. We could touch you. We feel the emotions. We're part of every one of you. And no matter where you live, what state, what part of the country, we're everywhere. Because I guess in the physical world, we limit ourselves through our conscience of we're just here. But there's spiritual beliefs that there's so many dimensions you cross that you're part of everything. Like you said, the stars looking down is perfect to that. Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think, you know, because everybody always, when they pray or whatever, they look up. I don't necessarily think that's right. I mean, I think it's like all around. It's not just up above us. It's all around you, you know, so.
I agree with you.
I mean, maybe me being simplistic, but it gives me comfort knowing that that possibility is there.
Yes.
That's what Sylvia Brown used to say.
Yeah.
In her books especially, that it's right there. It's 3 feet above the ground. It's not, you don't have to look up. It's right there. The acknowledgement and the validation is there. You just have to open up your eyes. Yes. Wow, this has been a quick show, fast hour. Hey, so you told us what you have going on. Where can people find you?
You can look on my Facebook page under Amy Green. They need my email. It's to look me up on Facebook. It's my email is beyondspooky@yahoo.com. I'm still working on a site for my show, and I'm also still working on. I need to have a little bit better network for my show. So I'm actually in the process of looking at that right now, so I can grow my show a little bit more, because there's more that I want to be able to do. So I'm working on that. And but yeah, you can, I always post, that's the main thing that you're going to see on my page is, unless it's a private event that it's not open to the public, I usually share everything that I'm invited to, including shows and you know, different shows and all that other stuff. So I share it on my page.
You do. Thank you for that.
They can find me on LinkedIn as well, under beyondspooky@yahoo.com. So as soon as I get my email, my web page built and everything, I'll be posting that too.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
Amy.
So much for coming on.
Taking the time to come on tonight.
And really quick, before we let you go, any words of wisdom for the audience?
I can say this without getting into trouble. For those who have never investigated before, do not base everything that you know when you go to investigation on what you've seen on TV.
Yes.
True.
It's ironic for me because I mean, I am the least patient person on the planet, and I have picked a hobby or passion that requires nothing but patience. So
it's true.
That is definitely true.
Patience and comfortable shoes. There you go.
Well, thank you, Amy. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was a great show.
Yes. And we also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring this show. And we will be back next Monday night at the same time. And stay tuned for the Angel Rock with Laura Lee.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night. Be safe. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you, Amy. Good night.
See you later. Bye.
Here we are in the Writers and Illustrators of the Future Lounge at the Author Services Building in Hollywood. It contains a gallery of the writer and illustrator judges, a selection of the awards the contests have received, a library containing novels and art books published by winners and judges, and a selection of photos of some of our beloved keynote speakers and guests. For nearly four decades, L. Ron Hubbard's Writers of the Future contest has discovered and nurtured a steady stream of new authors and artists who have changed the face of science fiction. Chosen by an impressive panel of judges, drawn from the biggest names in the genre, contest winners are given the best possible foundation for a long-standing career. Now in its third year, the Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast continues to provide advice and tips from contest judges, industry professionals, and contest winners for writers and artists wanting to take their next step, along with needed inspiration to keep on going. If you are already a regular listener of this podcast, I thank you. If you are new to it, I welcome you to the weekly installment of the Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast. This is John Goodwin, your host.